Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 16th of November. Wisconsin's Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton is our guest today, and she joins us by phone from Washington, D.C., where she is the state leader for the U.S. Summit and Initiative for Global Citizen Diplomacy. She wrote recently that Wisconsin is proudly taking the lead in establishing the state's role in global citizen diplomacy at a national summit on that topic. It is the first to be held since the Eisenhower administration. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is the chair of the summit, leading a coalition of 65 authorities on citizen diplomacy in support of more than 1,100 non-governmental organizations working in this area. Citizen diplomacy, Barbara writes, begins with the premise that individuals have the right, even the responsibility, to help shape and strengthen U.S. foreign relations. And Wisconsin has really taken a lead. We are the state that boasts the most Peace Corps returnees and a 45-year partnership with Nicaragua, which has also a high level of participation in the K-12 and higher education exchanges, significant international commerce, and multiple productive relationships with other cities and states all around the globe. And the Lieutenant Governor will be with us to talk about this initiative this hour. We'll be welcoming phone calls, as we always do. The phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. And if you'd like to send an email, that, of course, is just fine. Our email address is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Kathleen.
So it's rolling in Washington today. Are you presenting a paper today on this?
Nope. The actual roundtable itself happens on Thursday. Tonight are opening ceremonies. This afternoon I have an appointment at the Joint Chiefs of Staff office out at the Pentagon because our project is engaging the highest level people from the Department of Defense with the Department of State and connecting them to the states really for the first time and exploring how to create a bridge so that we do better at elevating diplomacy and development alongside defense.
Oh my.
And that's where citizen diplomacy comes in. It's a smart power way to think about global issues and bringing better balance.
Now, this is the first national summit on this topic since the Eisenhower administration.
Yes. Isn't that something?
It is something. What happened during the Eisenhower administration, and why have we neglected this since?
Well, during the Eisenhower administration, it was in the mid-50s, and we were in the midst of the Cold War. And part of, I think, what defined the Cold War was a war of public opinion worldwide, trying to get people to see that you were this better, righteous force, right? And I think President Eisenhower understood that the story of the United States vis-a-vis the world was better told by its citizens than by official sources, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in the interim, we have seen a growth of citizen diplomacy, but we haven't done anything to harness it and capture those stories, leverage it for a higher level contribution to global security and better relationships around the world. And now we have a president who took office as the Department of Defense with Secretary Gates and the Department of State with Secretary Clinton together are really emphasizing the importance of civilian power in the national security strategy. So it's a kind of a confluence of things as we are deeply unsettled with terrorism and other forces around the world. We understand that citizens have an important role to play. And it's, you know, one of the things that's interesting, Kathleen, is this builds on an interesting historical trajectory for us. Go back to the Marshall Plan after post-World War II, and that was a civilian development initiative. And actually, it was came out of leaders in the business community who helped draft that through the Committee on Economic Development. And Eleanor Roosevelt chaired a drafting committee that produced the Universal Declaration of Human Rights before we had a way to talk about or the words to say soft power. President Kennedy founded the Peace Corps
right.
to give us a different face of the United States. So it follows a trajectory, but all I can say is it's about time.
Yeah. And the Peace Corps, you mentioned this in a piece that you wrote recently. I didn't know that Wisconsin has more
yes.
Peace Corps returnees than any other state.
Yes.
And so many have gone on to public service.
They have. And you know what else they have gone on to do, which is fascinating to me? And this is part of why we need to learn the lessons and the deep value of networking our international experiences for value and benefit to our states as well as to national security and world peace. Look at the Rotary Club up in Sturgeon Bay. And Sturgeon Bay, Door County area, has a growing retiree population, and they are civically engaged, and their Rotary membership has grown. And interestingly, they discovered that among them, they have a tremendous varied international experience with a lot of Peace Corps volunteers. And that was what kind of spurred the conversation, and they ended up cataloging their international experience so that they could make it available to other individuals and businesses in the area. If you're trying to do business in Peru, we've got somebody who has connections and a deep understanding of the culture. But also out of it grew in those conversations some new philanthropic projects. So it's Wisconsin not only has that history, we're learning how to connect it.
Now, tell me more about the role that citizen soldiers can play here. Are you referencing the National Guard?
Or
are you
am.
You are. Okay.
I am. Here's what is happening with our roundtable. And we are doing a roundtable on the role of the states in global citizen diplomacy. And until now, really, Kathleen, there has not been a recognized role for states in this. For a variety of reasons. One is that states don't like the federal government messing around with their issues, and they've sort of agreed to stay out of federal government issues. But post 9/11 world, all of the states are necessarily engaged in global or homeland security issues. And we, in a global economy, have got to be paying attention to how we interact in our global profile if we're going to have a stable, growing state economy. So the states, as we started to investigate this, must take, actually, a more active role in leveraging citizen diplomacy to their benefit and to the benefit of the nation. But then what we discover is this fabulous existing network that I was introduced to not long after taking office when there was the breakup of the Balkans and bringing down the wall in Berlin in the early 90s, and you had this whole cluster of emerging democracies, very fragile, for the first time establishing a military under civilian control. The Department of Defense was trying to figure out how to be appropriately supportive of their stabilizing that scenario and came up with what they called the State Partnership Program, pairing states with emerging democracies, with countries, through the National Guard. So it's funded by the Department of Defense. The U.S. ambassador in a partner country is the person who is the one who receives a request from a country for a partner, and a National Guard steps forward and applies to become a partner. Wisconsin is a partner to Nicaragua. And we have been since early in this century, although it builds on a non-governmental organization partnership, the Wisconsin-Nicaraguan partnership that goes back to the mid-60s. So what has happened here in our state and 47 others, there are 48 states with 62 country partnerships around the world, is that we have built these enduring trusting relationships that become incredibly important to the stabilizing and growing prosperity of these emerging democracies. The National Guard doesn't fall prey to political whims when there's a change of administration in our state or in our federal government. The National Guard is staying steady right throughout. Our exchanges with those countries and the National Guard, these citizen soldiers, come from all around our state. And because they're not active duty soldiers, they're coming with another career background. And some of them are rural and some of them are urban. Some of them are farmers, some of them are physicians or business owners or all sorts of carpenters, you know, all kinds of professions and expertise and different perspectives that they bring. But they connect in a profound way with that full breadth of understanding of what needs to come together to have a very stable community and democracy and the role of the military and civilian power in that. So we have this existing 48-state network, 50 will be involved, I think, eventually. And what we are looking at is one of our recommendations is how to take that program and really give it a broader-based authority to work as a framework for deeper engagement. Because, for instance, in Nicaragua or other countries that we have looked into in their partnerships, we start with a military-to-military relationship and help them with response to disasters. Nicaragua has no end of them. They come from hurricanes and mudslides and earthquakes and volcanoes. They've got it all. So we can work in those areas to help share training and in other ways, military-to-military. But then they want some help with water purification in rural areas because that's so critical to the public health of the country. And so they ask about that because there's some knowledge and there's this deep trust of our long commitment to them. So we're looking to expand a partnership program into a framework that allows us, to the benefit of our states as well as the countries, engage, be able to more easily network into these countries with a variety of engagements in both commercial and public health and academic, et cetera. Mm.
And tell me the breadth of this program, Lieutenant Governor Lawton. Are they all over the world? So it's Africa and Asia and South America.
Africa is just opening up because, of course, there has to be a certain fundamental level of stability in a country before you would send in our National Guard. But Africa is just opening up. And this is very exciting, and I know that the Wisconsin National Guard has shown a profound interest in adding a partnership for our program in Africa. And one of the great reasons, besides the success that we have had and the positive impact it has had on our state, is that the University of Wisconsin-Madison houses the National Cultural and Language Center for Africa.
Really?
And this may well become, as we look at how we more effectively train both active duty and National Guard soldiers who are working in a variety of projects abroad, that we make better use of centers like that. So there is a lot afoot.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of foot. There's also just being able to connect everybody, the Rotary Club, the University of Wisconsin-Madison, the Peace Corps volunteers. I know that there's an element that will let everybody know what everybody's doing to further these goals.
Exactly. We have two recommendations. We decided after we did a kind of a deep study looking for who's doing what where and what are the best practices. And what we discovered is that, like Wisconsin, in 99% of the states, we are not, all of these fabulous things are happening in isolation. And, for instance, in our university system, one campus doesn't really have a clue what the other campus is doing in terms of international engagement. Sometimes just across campus, they don't. And what we are, with that, we lose all sorts of valuable opportunities. We have, for instance, SC Johnson in Racine is actually developing organic farming produce or product of some kind that is going to help support economic growth in a very important way in Rwanda, but develop an organic product for them to sell here. And wouldn't it be nice if they were aware when we have a special leadership, you know, official connected to that coming into the state, if we maintained an international calendar and a way to understand who's doing research projects,
yes,
sister cities, blah, 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 all around the world, we would be able to better leverage all of these international visits here, visits abroad. We would be able to make our trade missions more effective, which is incredibly important that there be a cultural base and exchange that girds the commercial transactions if we want them to be sustainable. And the Arts Board, by the way, has been helpful in leading, for instance, our relationship with Chiba Japan that went from a cultural and educational exchange to include high-tech partnerships between our states. So we are have been working with the University of Wisconsin System to create a networking a web networking technology that would allow us to map all of that and have an interactive program. It's very exciting, and we will present that as a template for other states.
Wonderful. I know that you've spent a lot of time, and you must have been going as you traveled around the state of Wisconsin. Oh, you're doing this? I know somebody who's doing
exactly
something that's along the same
you
lines.
You know, actually, Kathleen, that has been one of the greatest joys of serving as Lieutenant Governor is discovering things and out, you know, in this realm and in other realms, discovering the deep talent pool and the interesting projects that are happening all around the state and connecting people.
Exactly. You also, didn't you go to Nicaragua recently?
Last week.
Oh, it was last week.
And
very
I
recently.
I have to tell you, that was one of the most graphic and vivid examples of why citizen diplomacy and specifically the state partnership program and our Wisconsin-Nicaragua partnership are so important. 2 weeks before we were leaving, we were informed by the authorities, the Southern Command for the Department of Defense oversees all of Latin America, and they oversee the partnership programs down there. And they said, we need you to stop in Miami for a briefing because the stability ranking of Nicaragua has declined.
Mm.
So we spent some time at the Southern Command and were briefed, and Daniel Ortega became president 4 years ago. Let's see. Yeah, about 4 years ago, or three and a half, 3 years ago. And I actually visited Nicaragua with the Guard 3.5 years ago. Now we come back, and in the intervening time, he has done quite a few things that undercut and undermine the stability of a democracy, including convening his supporting Supreme Court judges to declare a different reading of the Constitution that would allow him to run for re-election.
Ah.
Which the Constitution actually disallows. They've had some other problems with elections lately, and now they have a border skirmish with Costa Rica. So we come into this with a long-scheduled National Guard, Nicaragua military engagement where we're going to meet over a variety of projects afoot, and there's a break in the communication above us with the president, and the president Ortega is cutting off conversations with the United States, but we can actually come in and connect to the ministry, the top-level person in the Ministry of Defense, the general who is over all of the army, and the civil defense general, and have engaging and planning conversations, even get the general over the whole army. When I spoke with him, I said, it's time for you now to come to Wisconsin to agree to come, even as there are other issues. This is when the State Partnership Program and Citizen Diplomacy keep a tight fabric of commitment that will endure even when there are ruptures at the top in communication.
How were you able to make that connection? Just at the, based on the history of the partnership?
Right. This is history that they have come to count on. You'd have, I think maybe I said this before, you'd have trouble finding a fire truck in Nicaragua that didn't come from Wisconsin. But they have done so much to help them with the training, with connecting them to public health resources as they're developing a better public health program. Now, academic exchanges, et cetera, we are trusted partners. So even when Ortega says, I'm angry with the United States and trying to distance himself, the people underneath are deeply connected. And mm-hmm. I met with women leaders, and that was very exciting to see the level of activity there. Our Wisconsin-Nicaragua partnership has 100 learning centers where they are training very poor women in skills so that they can earn some money to help support their families, and they have libraries for the children that are attached to this. I mean, it's really quite extraordinary. Clinics, it's amazing. So even as Ortega worries us greatly about the direction he's trying to lead his country, the counterpull to that is the long relationship with Wisconsin.
Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton is our guest this hour. She's joining us by phone from Washington, D.C., where she is a state leader and a national leader for the U.S. Summit and Initiative for Global Citizen Diplomacy that is taking place in Washington this week. We welcome phone calls for her. Our phone number is 1-800-486-8655. Our email address, should you care to use that, is talk@wpr.org. Citizen diplomacy, beginning with a premise that individuals have the right, even the responsibility, to help shape and strengthen U.S. foreign relations. And the Lieutenant Governor has outlined how that has been taking place for a long time with Wisconsin's partnership with Nicaragua, and 47 other states are involved in similar programs, and it's time to look at what we're doing, to find out what everybody else is doing, and to strengthen those programs, particularly when it comes to citizen diplomacy, and I guess you could say help creating peace in the world. We'll take phone calls in just a moment. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton is our guest, and let's start our calls with Joy from West Bend. Hi, Joy.
Hi.
Hi.
I want to thank our Lieutenant Governor for taking this kind of an approach. It's not what we usually expect out of a Lieutenant Governor, but Lord knows we need this kind of approach in the world. I always thought that when the end of the Cold War came, I was kind of offended that Reagan took the credit for it, because I figured really the groundwork was laid and the tone was set by a lot of people who went over to the Soviet Union individually and with organizations and made citizen diplomacy efforts. I think in the long run, citizen diplomacy is really like a peace strategy. It's got to be more cheap and more effective than having our country trying to control and take over the world by military means.
I couldn't agree with you more, Joy. I think it's more efficient. It's more enduring. As you, I'm sure, have connections to, even when you think about people who have been AFS students or other kinds of foreign exchange students, you build these relationships that help us think about other distant places as not distant and foreign, but as connected to us. And what we need to do now in this global economy is understand that our destinies are all linked. And if nothing else, a grasp of global climate change helps us see that our destinies are linked. If there is a great deal of carbon emissions coming out of China without mitigation and out of the United States without mitigation, this is having an impact on the first level on people living at the poles or on islands in the Caribbean. So there has been citizen diplomacy all along. And I agree that this has been what has led us in this direction with greater mobility since the airplane, et cetera, et cetera. But now what we need to do is really recognize it, lift it into view, give it a higher level of prestige so that we can compound its impact and increase the incidence of citizen diplomacy.
My understanding, Lieutenant Governor Lawton, is that the National Guard has been stretched pretty thin with wars in Afghanistan and Iraq and multiple deployments, et cetera. This may sound like an absolutely wonderful idea that's worthy of great expansion, but how the heck are we going to do it?
Well, it has been stretched thin. This is not actually something that places a high personnel demand because it's not... you may have a couple of people posted in the host country, but the nature of the program is exchanges. So during a period, at some point in the year, there will be X number of Wisconsin Guard soldiers who make a trip to Nicaragua for that part of the exchange. And then Nicaraguan soldiers who come to Wisconsin and interact with us here, and these are learning exchanges. So it's not like you're deploying people for a long period of time or a lot of people.
I see. So they're coming here as well. What are they doing here?
I have welcomed them many times into my office when delegations have come from Nicaragua. And this part of it is extremely important.
I'm sure that it is. And so they come here for education? They
right.
come here
and training and looking at how we manage certain things through the National Guard, and it helps them develop their management techniques or their crisis response, all of that. And I saw, in fact, quite a leap in both technology and processes in crisis response when we visited their civil defense headquarters this time compared to the last time.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that something? Isn't it something what people can do?
Yes.
It really is.
It is something what people can do. And, you know, when it is important for us to remember that, as you pointed out, there's not only a right but even a responsibility for us to be engaged in this way. But that doesn't mean that there isn't benefit that accrues to the state. When we do this, not only are we making a serious contribution to national security goals, but we also, as a state, get a more prominent international profile. It helps contribute to increased trade for us, and our export economy is very important. A more globally literate workforce, as all of the businesses that operate in this state look at global markets. We need a workforce that's prepared to engage in that way. So this is, it becomes so beneficial on both sides of the equation that we must be better at it.
Right. Thanks, Joy, for your call. We go to Matt from Washington, D.C. Hi, Matt.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I work for the International Office of Partners of the Americas, and we're very grateful to Lieutenant Governor Lawton and the people of Wisconsin and Nicaragua in particular for really developing a long-term model that I think could be extremely well received in other states, and involving so many institutions and so many people throughout the state of Wisconsin in a long-term sustainable relationship. And the question would be, through summits like the Citizen Diplomacy Summit and other points of engagement, how might other states look to Wisconsin as a model to adapt to their own states?
Thanks, Matt. I hope that through this summit, we will be in catalyzing an active engagement among states to look at and for models that they can use. And because I hope that Wisconsin is going to provide them the networking model, what we hope will be a very successful networking model for their international activity. That prominent in that model will be our partnership, the Wisconsin Nicaragua partnership. And I just can't emphasize enough again, when I was down there and visited one of the learning centers and the headquarters and spoke to people in the fire brigade and all of that, what the Wisconsin Nicaragua partners have done with people from across our state in having an impact on people in that incredibly poor country, in lifting their sense of possibility, but also having a direct impact on their quality of life and on stabilizing, contributing to a more stable government and a growing economy. It's an efficient model, as Joy said. What could be more efficient?
Thanks, Matt, for the call. Here's an email, Barbara, from Ashley. What sort of roles do you see are available for youth, particularly high school students, in citizen diplomacy?
Oh, how wonderful, Ashley. Thank you. Listen, there's a wonderful graduate student, Debbie Sharnack, who has been working with me every step of the way from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And her gaze always is, she is so solid about making sure that all of us keep bringing our gaze back to the youth, because if we think about what will truly be the most energetic, smartest use of new technologies, and the most open way of engaging around the world, it is with the young people who haven't yet picked up old and burdensome preoccupations or predispositions toward other people. And so I would hope most of our high schools have had some sort of international exchange programs, are beginning to look at technology possibilities that allow them to engage in classrooms around the world. But I hope that we will find a format, even a way of networking with this network that will invite youth leaders from across the state to help design new models for citizen diplomacy beginning at that level.
That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? That would be wonderful. What role is the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, and the State Department playing in all of this?
Incredible leadership. And vision, in that here we have, for the first time in a long time, I don't know if we've ever had a Secretary of State leading with such a close and deeply mutually respectful relationship with the Secretary of Defense, so that we focus on bringing diplomacy and military power into balance, into what we call smart diplomacy and a whole-of-government approach to our foreign relations. And she is very clear-headed and dedicated. The President of the United States is, in his national security strategy that he published last spring. He said that he calls for us to renew leadership across the nation by calling upon what is best about America, our innovation and capacity, our openness, and our moral imagination. And concurrent with that call, Hillary Rodham Clinton has published a paper just recently, just this month, called Leading Through Civilian Power, Redefining American Diplomacy and Development. And that this confluence of leadership at the top in our nation gives us the right moment to push forward and to give them actually the tools and the structures that they need to turn that into greater security for all of us around the world.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Gil Halstead, one of our Wisconsin Public Radio reporters in Madison, is listening. Hi, Gil.
Hi, I just wanted, you already passed this in the discussion, but I tuned in when you were talking about Nicaragua, and I know that several years ago, just to point out that this works both ways, the Nicaraguans have established an internationally accepted standard for finding landmines and disarming them, and they trained us
Yes, right.
And they have trained people around the world in this, so it isn't just Nicaraguans learning stuff from us. We're learning stuff from them.
Thank you, Gil. Yes. And in fact, when President Obama talks about our innovation, we actually, it is that what's coming back to us that allows us to learn new things and innovate here because of our relationships in Nicaragua and around the world. Actually, the Secretary General of their Ministry of Defense, and there isn't a proper minister, so this is the highest person, effectively the Minister of Defense, is a woman whose primary focus has been on the demining of Nicaragua and working globally as well. And you're right, they had a lot to teach us because they had a disastrous situation there. And they, in fact, she told us they are moving into a new period now where officially, they say that they have cleaned the country of mines, but you can never totally say that. And some that they had identified may have been moved with a storm or a mudslide. So now they launch a countrywide public education program about the care that must continue and the needs of the people who had been hurt by the mines. But you're right. We have learned a lot from them, and that is one area of expertise that has been critical to us.
Thanks, Gayla, very much. That's a show we should do. We haven't done that in a long time. Landmines around the world. That would be good. There's so much to pay attention to, but it's now that we brought it up today, it's good to pay attention to it. Charles in Ingleside, Illinois. Hi.
Good morning, Kathy, guest. I wonder what the relationship of this organization is with the School of Americas in Columbus, Georgia. The school, when it was in Panama, it was called the School of Assassins, and they came here as the School of Americas, but now it's given another very complicated name that we can hardly remember. But the nuns who were killed for tutoring children, they were called communists, making the children communists by teaching them to read, and all the teachers in the school, the Jesuits, and their cooking staff was killed by the same graduates of the School of Americas, and the bishop shot during mass on the altar. Recently, I think it was in Honduras, they lifted up the premier in his pajamas and took him, where was it, to Mexico? These are the same people. And I wonder what your relationship is and how do you relate with an organization like this?
I would imagine, well, is there a relationship between the School of the Americas and
Global Citizen
Global
Diplomacy?
Citizen, right.
Not that I know of at all. And nor is there a formal relationship with the state of Wisconsin. Charles, what we are talking about is a National Guard program and countless other non-governmental organizations that are coming together under this heading of Global Citizen Diplomacy with and being convened by the Department of State. So I guess I wouldn't find a relationship there.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Charles, for your call. We go next to Marvin in Hayward. Hello, Marvin.
Good morning. I'm listening to this, and I'm thinking this is so far beyond politics, it's not even hardly related. And my question is, could this program be expanded beyond, say, the National Guard? For instance, I heard you talk about fire trucks in Nicaragua, and I'm an officer on the fire department here in northern Wisconsin. And WITC has put on a program for training firefighters. And, you know, when you put your hat and your turnout coat on, your boots, all brothers. Mm. And it'd be incredibly rewarding for me to pass along techniques and life-saving things to firefighters in Nicaragua to make them better firefighters.
Oh, Marvin, I'm so glad you called.
You know, Marvin, let me suggest, I don't have it right at my fingertips, but you can get it through my office if you can't find it online. But if you go to the Wisconsin-Nicaragua Partnership, that's a place to begin. And I actually think it would be wonderful if there were an organization that connected, and this is why the state partnership framework is so important, that not only could we connect to Nicaragua, but the other firefighters in other states that would like to connect to their partner states, if we created a framework, we might be able to do this. But right now, immediately, you can connect through the Wisconsin-Nicaragua Partners and see how we might imagine that and make something like that happen.
Sure.
I know that they would be so grateful for the exchange, because each time that I have been there, they're hungry to learn more and to be able to do their job better. And they probably, because they have learned to be resourceful with less and have sometimes distinctly different kinds of challenges than you might have in Hayward, may have a lot to teach as well.
Sure.
You're on your way, Marvin.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call.
Amy Wiza, W-I-Z-A, is the director of the Wisconsin-Nicaragua Partnership, and I'm sure it's easy to find online, but my office can connect you as well.
Amy, W-I-Z-A, did you
say? Uh-huh.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Great. Well, that was a nice call. That's what you want to have happen, right? Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton is our guest, joining us by phone in Washington, D.C., where she is playing a prominent role in the Global Citizen Diplomacy National Summit, which is taking place this week. It is the first that's going to be held since the Eisenhower administration, and the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, will be leading a coalition of 65 authorities on citizen diplomacy in support of more than 1,100 non-governmental organizations working in this area. And as you know, the Lieutenant Governor reminds us that we've been at this a long time in the state of Wisconsin, with a great number of people who were serving in the Peace Corps, more than any other state in the country, our 45-year partnership with Nicaragua, and a high level of participation in K-12 and higher education exchanges, international commerce, and more. And so they're talking about expanding this and finding new ways, particularly for the National Guard, to be involved in citizen diplomacy. But it goes way beyond that. And we're hearing what it is this hour of the show. More phone calls momentarily. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, and the email address is talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This, for some reason, it's reminding me of tomorrow's show, which is probably because of the connection between Kennedy and the Peace Corps. And we're doing, I still can't believe it was 50 years ago, last week or the week before, that John F. Kennedy was elected president of the country. We're going to talk about that. Life has released all these new pictures, as you know, and he still is very much in the American mind 50 years later. So we will be speaking with the director of the Presidential Library, and also with wonderful historian Robert Dalek will join us, who's done a couple books on Kennedy. So that's tomorrow during our 10 o'clock hour. This hour of the program, Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton is our guest, and we are discussing global citizen diplomacy and welcoming phone calls, 800-486-8655. I love these calls of people who want to help in some way. That's, you got to love public radio listeners.
I do too, Kathleen.
Yeah.
Isn't
it great?
I want to point out, because the Nicaragua partnership is so strong and long and so vivid because I was just there, but Wisconsin has a lot of other partnerships in motion, including the one I mentioned with Chiba, Japan, and Hessen, Germany, and Jalisco, Mexico, and Weilongjiang, China, and all of these have become incredibly important and woven into the way that we think about ourselves and the way that we are doing business globally and have strengthened it. The other thing I wanted to point out, and this is the importance of this summit that is convening now, as we worked on addressing the role of the states, the National Governors Association has never in its history had an international committee. The Lieutenant Governors Association has an international committee since the year I was chair of it and instituted it. And just this year, the Council of State Legislatures, for the first time, is introducing a task force on international affairs.
Wonderful.
But isn't that extraordinary that it is only just now?
Yeah, well, at least it's now.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Right.
You're right.
Mike McCourt, I'm sure you know Mike, is calling from Clintonville. He's hi, Mike.
Well, hello, ladies. I am so blessed and excited that I made a call in my day of I'm also a public servant, Barbara, and so I was amazed to get through, and what a blessing to talk to both of you. Hello.
Hi. And he is the Wisconsin.
Excited that Bob Bowen had called, and of course Amy Wizard. They're all in Stevens Point with their ears to the radios, and just excited to hear about your trip, Barbara. And I was so pleased to hear that you spent time in our new office. Wasn't it just a wonderful place to visit?
It was thrilling to see what is happening there, Mike. I mean, the outreach that is strengthening communities through women and their children, the ways that they are turning gifts and goods that have been excessive in our state and brought down there and turning it into meaningfully helping strengthen households and communities, it's amazing. It's imaginative. It continues to evolve to meet the current need, and it engages. I saw, when I think back to the phone call from Ashley, who asked about how high school students could be involved, I saw young people there of that age engaged as volunteers in the Wisconsin-Nicaragua partnership and helping them reach out and build strength. So, yes, it's incredible.
And Mike, you should clue us in as to who you are. You're the Wisconsin-Nicaraguan partnership president?
Yes, ma'am. It's a wonderful position, but one of those positions that if you don't show up at a meeting, you may become the president. And that was about 8 years ago, but I have been blessed to work with extremely educated and caring people. When I say educated, I'm humbled by who I'm surrounded with doctors and PhDs and scholars from all over the state, certainly, and the country that are willing to work with us. And once, as all of us, once you step your foot on the other side of the pond, as I say, in that country and watch part of a project, whether it's one you participated in, one that you sponsored, and you see the life and the people come back, and realize the determination after you leave, that the commitment they have for that project, it just takes part of your heart, and you will go back and you will keep helping them because of the amount of love they have for their country's people and one another and their culture. You know, some of the benefits we have with our library system that has been extremely successful is it may be a one-room hut, a 100-square-foot building, and we put a book in a bag with instructions to keep it dry and not muddy because going home to some of their homes involves dirt floors and rain, and keep the book clean, bring it back. The success ratio of that is phenomenal. They never heard of a lending library.
The library, doesn't get better than that.
The other thing is, Mike, that where there's not space in the headquarters of the Wisconsin-Nicaragua Partnership, a woman who has been trained by the partnership decided to host a library in her home, and she has 400 children a week visit. So this, it keeps expanding.
Yeah.
It is so smart and so resilient and so resourceful, and these are the lessons that we learn from it and that we hope that we can propagate, lift into view and propagate around the world, because it is As we think about the destabilization of Nicaragua, that is that we can begin to see that makes us think of what's happening in Venezuela, it is the people of Nicaragua that will hold it steady and still have the imagination for democracy.
Thanks, Mike, so much for the call. Barbara, we have so many people who want to talk to you, who want to join, who want to do something. Can you, I don't want to just leave them without a website or what
first,
or something.
They can connect through our office, but the U.S. Center for Citizen Diplomacy is a co-host with the Department of State, and they can see what's happening at the summit, and we'll post a report post-summit and our report on my website, and we'll also connect them to the office at the University of Wisconsin, where this networking capacity for our state and as a prototype for the nation is being built. Kathleen, can we end with some words from President Obama's national security strategy?
Sure.
He said, "We must foster even deeper connections among Americans and people around the globe. Our long-term security will not come from our ability to instill fear in other peoples, but through our capacity to speak to their hopes. And that work will be best done through the power of the decency and the dignity of the American people, our troops, our diplomats, but also our private sector, non-governmental organizations, and citizens. All of us have a role to play."
Barbara Lawton, thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour, Christy Pease for on-air production, and thank you, everybody, for all of your wonderful calls. This is the Ideas Network.